You are listening to The Flannelly Show live from New York City, and we are broadcasting worldwide on irishradio.com. All of our interviews are archived, and the best way to get in touch with us, info@irishradio.com. It is a distinct pleasure for me to welcome an illustrious leader in the Irish community. He's the international president of the Transport Workers Union, a Brooklyn native, and his name is John Samuelson. John, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me today.
Give us a little history, if you will, since the Transport Workers Union, if we go back to the days of Mike Quill, and even before that, the Transport Workers Union has always kind of been a banner union organization, very much a part of the American labor movement. Maybe we'd start with the great Mike Quill.
Well, I think there are historical ties that continue today between the Transport Workers Union and the Irish-American community and the cause of Irish freedom. And the union was actually organized in the aftermath of the tragedy of the Irish Civil War and that diaspora of emigration that came into New York City. Was the driving force in organizing the TWU. So the efforts before that had fallen flat, and there were several different employers in the transit industry, and they enforced an anti-union stance with picketings and thugs and whatnot. And I think those hard men and women that came over to New York in the aftermath of that Civil War dealt with the picketings in a way that they weren't quite accustomed to. And we successfully organized this union, which all of these years later is thriving.
I would like to point out to to our listeners that the Transport Workers Union represents nearly 140,000 members. So when we think actually of the Transport Workers Union, particularly New Yorkers, think of the subways and the buses. But actually, your members and you as president responsible for members across the airline, the railroad, transit, universities, utilities, and services sector. A large group of influential labor movement members. There are the naysayers who would, of course, say, well, the labor movement in the United States has weakened over the years and doesn't have the clout that it used to have. Your reaction to that?
I would say that that factually the labor movement in the United States has shrunk. I think that's factually correct, but it certainly hasn't in New York. In New York, the trade union movement is thriving. New York is a union town and a union state. And I would say the pendulum is swinging. The pendulum swung far the other way. I think we have a two-party system in America that has not been good to the trade union movement or to workers in general. We have one party trying to kill us and one party that just pretty much ignores us. And the consequence of that, the result of that, is that the organized labor has shrunk. But if you, anybody paying attention to these things would know that 2017 was the first year that we saw some growth in the United States labor movement. And poll after poll now demonstrates that workers in the United States have a very positive view of the trade union movement. So the pendulum is swinging back, and there's actually been some decisive victories for organized labor and for American workers recently. And you know, certainly we just organized 5,000 in-flight crew members, flight attendants employed by JetBlue on Tuesday, and that's the biggest election in the labor movement in quite some time, the biggest representation election, and it's just another indicator that organized labor is bouncing back and that workers are waking up to the realization that the trade union movement is really the only vehicle, it's the only institution in America that's truly looking out for the economic security of working people, and I think folks are now cognizant once again that that's a truth.
It's also indeed reflective of the times, as we hear that only big business, that only the super rich hold the balance of power, and I think the penny is dropping. That without a very strong labor movement, perhaps that is one of the reasons why the pendulum is swinging. At the end of the day, the rich get rich on the backs of indeed a great number of those working and laborers in the movement. And say what you will, that again, perhaps the drop off in membership or in the to some incorrectly the interests of the labor movement, it's coming back and it's very much a part of the American ethos. I wanted to ask you about indeed the consistent Irish influence in the American labor movement, and in particular you as director of the James Connolly Irish American Labor Coalition indeed has been working, but on this the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, America has marked it with a set of principles named after the late Martin McGuinness, Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland. Tell us a little bit, if you will, about the James Connolly and the Irish American Labour Coalition.
So the James Connolly Labour Coalition is a group, and it's a fairly new group. There have been certainly some really involved coalitions of Irish trade unionists before, and we're just standing on their shoulders and trying to move forward with the advancement of an agenda that focuses on ultimately on a referendum for Irish unification, reunification. So we're a New York based group for now, but we're quickly hoping to quickly expand nationally. And as you said before, the Irish Americans certainly play an extremely prominent role in the United States labor movement, and particularly in New York. And it's kind of the trade union movement kind of runs in the, it just runs through the veins and arteries of Irish Americans. I mean, take a guy like me from Brooklyn. I just was brought up from a little kid by my parents and in this Irish neighborhood I live in Brooklyn, to understand that the trade union movement was what was putting food on the table every night. And I think that notion is mirrored throughout Irish American communities all over the United States, for the most part.
An event held in Hunter College there on Thursday evening, the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, has endorsed the McGuinness principles, and of course, The McGuinness Principles, drafted collectively by ancient order of Hibernians, Brehon Law Society, but we would like also to point out that the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement was organized by the comptroller of New York State, Tom DiNapoli. And it was not only well attended, there wasn't room you know, you need a shoehorn to get into it. The launch and again the endorsement of Chuck Schumer is something that indeed was personified. This is not by the attendance there on this 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Can you just maybe outline for us the principal, you know, aspects of the McGinnis Principles?
Sure. So it's a kind of a four-legged stool, a simple stool, if you will, of based on equality, respect, truth, and self-determination. Much of it is a fulfillment of aspects of the Good Friday Agreement, or the pursuit of fulfillment of aspects of the Good Friday Agreement that have not yet come to fruition. And certainly the most important among them would be self-determination for the entire island. And in much in the way that organized labor was involved in the pursuit of a corporate code of conduct in the early and mid-80s, the McBride Principles, when I was actually fairly young in high school, the trade union movement played a pretty significant role in that, and that's kind of our intention again, is to as exiled Irish men and women in America, to play a role in advancing justice in Ireland, and the McBride Principles seek to do that. And we're extremely pleased that Senator Schumer has involved himself. You know, he's the premier Democrat on the national scene. For him to throw the weight of his person and his office behind these McBride Principles was really significant. And we expect that through groups such as the James Connolly Irish American Labor Coalition that we will continue to get more political support from elected officials in America. And I mean, one thing that I'm really appreciating and enjoying, you mentioned Tom DiNapoli, the New York State Comptroller, he's not an Irish American, standing with us, standing behind this, and Chuck Schumer, who's a Brooklyn guy, but certainly not an Irishman, is standing behind it as well. So this has broad-based support. The justice aspects of this are kind of cross-cultural, and I'm greatly appreciative of that, and everybody else's as well.
Now, James Connolly, there is a center which will open soon, and we should at this point acknowledge a great friend indeed in Máirtín Ó Maolóir. Máirtín being among other things, he owns and operates several news services, newspapers, outlets from Belfast. But with Máirtín Ó Maolóir on the other side, there is a plan on board now to establish a centre, and that has the support of labour unions, your own at the head of the line there. The unions, including the transport workers' unions, have pledged almost $500,000 towards the cost of a $2 million cost of a new centre, and you doubled down on that in your own union's pledge and added the New York New Belfast conference another $50,000. What is the purpose and what is the future of a James Connolly Centre? Where, of course, James Connolly, he lived on the Falls Road, and to that degree, you know, obviously his memory sometimes is grouped in with many of the other leaders you know, the 1916 revolution. What is the centre and how is that, what role do you see that as playing in the unification of Ireland?
Well, certainly the center is going to be an interactive learning center, and I had the honor of being there in its pre-construction phase on the 100th anniversary of the Rising with a whole lot of other American trade unionists. And so a couple of things with that. I mean, Connolly is generally viewed in the United States. The folks have a tendency to see the Irish freedom fighter side of James Connolly and pass by the extremely important aspect of his life, that he was an ardent industrial trade unionist. Not only that, a trade unionist that provided the model for guys like Mike Quill and the early organizers of the Transport Workers Union to take on an industrial organizing approach to, say, the New York City transit industry. And yeah. If you look at the New York City transit industry, it's one big union for the most part, as opposed to something like the Long Island Railroad, where there's a lot of craft unions. And we derive a tremendous amount of power, of impact power in New York City, by all being under the umbrella of one big union. Now, in terms of the quest for Irish unification and the American trade union movement, we view the James Connolly Center on the Falls Road as becoming a destination for American trade unionists, both to reconnect with their roots, but also to become educated on the connections between the trade union movement and the cause of Irish freedom. And, you know, they're greatly interconnected, as Connolly spoke about, actually. So yeah. We look forward to this with great anticipation, and we're hoping that it opens up next year and that we can have a large delegation of Irish American trade unionists over there for the opening.
As somebody and as a distinguished union leader in visiting Ireland on the 100th anniversary, what is your reaction and what should we gather from the fact that we're now, 15 months into Northern Ireland, one indeed influenced by the late Martin McGuinness as Deputy First Minister in Northern Ireland? Should we, and is there a sense in Irish America and through the labor movement that indeed we, now that everything is hunky-dory up in Northern Ireland, we should be concentrating and moving along to another aspect of the Good Friday Agreement, i.e. the reunification of Ireland, Ireland's 32. What's your own reaction to, say, the timing of this and this organization? And will that be considered a plus or a minus in getting the assembly up and running again?
Well, I'm not really sure what its impact will be on getting the assembly up and running again, but on the overall issue of fulfilling the Good Friday Agreement's vision for a referendum on self-determination, this group, the James Connolly Irish American Labor Coalition, and all the Irish American trade unions are really intend to play a significant role in doing that. And again, just in the same way that occurred with the McBride principles and the pursuit of a just corporate conduct code in the North, we believe that we can play a tremendous role in pressuring American politicians to involve themselves in the call for a referendum, and not only that, in afterward organizing a positive outcome for the referendum vote. I certainly envision us playing a role in those two ways, perhaps others as well.
I want to thank you for your time this morning, and also to let our listeners know that a lot more can be learned simply by logging on to McGuinness, that's McGuinnessprinciples.com. And again, many thanks and good luck to you in all you do, but particularly in the establishment and of the James Connolly, you know, organization, the James Connolly Irish American Labour Coalition. John Samuelson, thank you again. And friends,
thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, the family show live from New York.